Hey guys, my guests this week were Tanner and Brianna from the All Puppet Players, two veteran members of the troupe. This was a pretty short episode. I've been wanting to get in touch with some of the members for quite a long time now. I just think what they do is so interesting and fun. But really the only way we were able to swing it was right before they had to go on for a show. And by the time I got there, because across town from where I am, it ended up only being about 15 minutes or so that we had time to talk. But we made the most of it. They're such fun people. I was really excited to talk with them, and they had a lot of cool stuff to say about what the appeal is, really, about doing whatever it is they do. So I hope that you will enjoy it. I know I did. So kick back with my conversation with the All Puppet Players. Starving on his Phoenix. I'm Tony Machete, and I've got Brianna and Tanner from All Puppet Players. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good.
Fantastic. I know, yes. This is probably the most awkward situation I've been in for the things, being standing in a hallway outside of your show. But I'm glad you guys had a couple of minutes for me. So let's jump straight into it then. So why did you get mixed up with puppets?
Oh, well, I mean, I actually started doing kids' puppets, and then Sean started this puppet company in Arizona, and I was like, oh, that looks so unique and so special, and what a way to just take what I'm already doing for children and how much more fun to come and do it for a bunch of drunk adults.
So, kind of similar for me, in college, I started building puppets, and I realized that was what I wanted to do with my life and pursued that, and I worked in children's theater for a couple of years, and then I found All Puppet Players and went in and signed up, and 5 years later, I'm still doing it. So
what was the appeal? Was the appeal for you guys like coming and building a character like from the ground up, or why do you feel like you want to go through a puppet act?
You know, for adult puppets, it's so much different than doing children's theater. It is a lot like South Park, but with a puppet. And sure. So it's a lot of improv and some dirty stuff. And so it's just, I love alternative theater and going in there and bringing something new and unique to the Valley.
And it's something you don't see a lot of in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. There's lots of adult theater, there's a lot of puppet stuff, but there's not really a whole lot of overlap other than us. And these shows have been such a wild ride. They're always so much fun to work on. It's great to see how much the audience loves them. What I love about these shows is I don't think we've ever had an audience walk out not completely satisfied. So it's just a real fantastic project to work on.
Let's just start. Now, why do you guys feel like you go down the parody road? Because, I mean, they don't necessarily have to be parodies when you're doing what you do, but why do you feel like that's what you guys lean on?
Right. You know, I think that is something that Sean has found that audiences really enjoy. Taking something that especially he loves. He always takes his favorite movies and he says he hates it because he runs them. And then going back in and watching them and finding all of the stupid crap and things like that that he can go in and make fun of, and then just tearing a movie apart is really entertaining to him.
And we kind of live in a culture of pop culture now where it's like everyone talks in references. It's the way it goes. And so kind of appealing to that is a lot of fun, and it kind of just gives us a starting point. Is just like it's looking for the little weird stuff in movies and then being like, hey, let's make a scene out of that. It's really
So do you feel like you have to be of a certain kind of like zeitgeisty age or generation to kind of appreciate the movies that you guys are doing? I know you guys do a lot of like early 90s, late 80s type of movies, it seems like.
I don't know. I feel like we choose, like there's going to be some, if you've never seen a movie ever, you probably are going to walk in and go, what the heck is even going on here? But I feel like we go with enough of a mixture and stuff that's got enough mass appeal that most everyone, it's like we did Jurassic Park, we've done Star Wars. Sure. It's like these are movies pretty much anyone who's seen a movie has seen, or at least knows of.
Yeah, we also get a lot of people who tell us after, I've never seen the movie, but I still love the show. It's hilarious.
Yeah, which is always crazy.
So bottom line seems to be like audience appeal. You guys have already mentioned it a couple times in there. So what do you guys feel like is your limit as to what you can push yourselves creatively while still kind of entertaining an audience?
Oh man, I don't know. With this theater company, I would say anytime I thought that there was a limit to how far we could go, we've always pushed it. Each show, especially as we've been kind of growing as a theater and getting more comfortable working with each other over the last couple of years, it's like we've grown and we've built bigger things and we've gone crazier, and it's just kind of like, it's pretty much with parody. I feel like it's a lot of the times it's putting out and seeing what what catches, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, think about 50 Shades. This is our raciest show yet, but like, yeah. Who knew that puppet sex would be so popular?
And yet,
this is our fourth time doing it, and we have sold. Just people really enjoy.
So how do you guys approach audience interaction when you're on stage?
Honestly, it's just practice. You get used to the feel. We really enjoy it. It is not like a movie theater. We can hear people when they talk to us. So it's great. We all have brushed up on our improv skills. Sean, our director, is very skilled at being interactive with the audience.
very skilled. And we kind of came into it. I know when I first started, I had zero improv experience, and I was very much like, you know, you follow the script and you stay on. And then what's really fun about our shows is there's always things, and people are like, did they plan that or did they just make it work? And since we have such a talented group of people that we work with, and we've all learned so much about improv, and we get to work with Sean, who is, again, just phenomenal at it, we get to kind of blur the line between what's scripted and what's just kind of covering for something that happened. Like someone drops a bottle in the audience or someone's drunk and yelling in the audience. It's fun. It's really just a really wildly different kind of theater.
So how important is like a set ensemble to you guys? I mean, you guys have been veteran members here since you said it began. I mean, is it a tough thing acclimating somebody new?
I don't know. I think... the thing is, you get really close with people backstage. I think that's with anyone in any theater. Is you get to know your cast members and you grow to depend on them. And with our particular brand of theater, you learn to be dependent on the people around you, because if you mess up, you hope that someone else is going to catch you, and if someone else messes up, you're there to catch them as well. So you learn to trust and understand people. I think it can be a little intimidating for people coming in from the outside, but we're a pretty nice group of people. We're not too horrible, so I think I don't know, I like to think it's easy to acclimate, but I don't know, because I've been here since the beginning, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say the hardest thing is probably, this is a very unique experience, being up on stage and having someone yell something at yourself, which does not normally happen in normal theater, can be crazy for your first show. I remember my very first show, people came in late, and Sean stopped the show to yell at them. I had no idea what to do. I just stood there, and there was a reviewer in the audience who wrote a review that was like, well, it looks like Sean's ensemble doesn't know how to handle it. And so, like, what a learning experience from there to now, that now we all know what to do, that those things are going to happen.
Oh, that was 5 years ago, so we were all just young and scared, and we're all like, I'm learning how to use a puppet for the first time, and it was wild. It's funny looking back on that. I'm like, I do remember that night. I remember Brianna standing on stage going, So
this is kind of touched on with like comedians I've spoken to as well, is like, how do you encourage like the audience stuff, because like you kind of feed off of it, but also shut it down when it gets too much? Where do you guys feel that out?
It's surprising, people get really mouthy with puppets. I don't know why. I've had people say weird stuff to me when working in puppets, and I've had people people come up to you and they tell you like secret information, and you're like, why are you telling me this? And it's like, for whatever reason, people trust puppets more than they seem to trust people. And so you get a lot of that audience interaction just naturally. And then it's like shutting it down is it's definitely a kind of a trick as well, because you really don't want people to get crazy.
I think they also forget you're real. Like, I have a lot of people who will come up to me and then they don't want to talk to me. They talk to the puppet and they forget I'm there, which is awesome. But also, you have to know when to pull it back before it gets out of control, because it can get out of control really quickly.
Is there kind of like a safety net in that when you're an actor? Like, have you guys performed like as face actors as well? Do you feel like there's a really marked difference between the two?
Absolutely.
Yes, there is an insane difference. It gives you a sort of comfort. And you can say things you feel like you could never say. Like, I'll put my hood on and I'm like, okay, I can do this stuff. I can go on stage and pretend to have sex with another actor. Like, I could never do that without a puppet
Absolutely.
In my hand.
And you get like, it's there's kind of the rush of just like, we wear the masks on stage. You put that on and no one can tell who you are.
Right.
And like when you are emoting or whatever, you make really crazy faces. And I've noticed an ability to kind of go more exaggerated in puppets, because I'm not worried about making crazy faces on stage, which is a note I've gotten as a face actor before, is like, why are you making that face? And I'm like, because I'm trying to express this emotion.
I'm acting.
Like, this is acting. And it's like, with the puppets, it's a lot more reined in, because you do kind of lose. And I think that maybe that's why people forget you're real, is because you kind of lose that aspect of humanity there, and you're just going to full-on puppet acting.
interested. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the puppets as well. So I'm assuming everybody kind of has a hand in construction. Do you guys like contribute a lot to that? Is that something that you as performers try to have any kind of hand in when you're working with a character?
Actually, we don't. All of our puppets are, I mean, we do help, but we have a team who makes the puppets and they get sent to us and then we have to figure out how to use them. Every puppet is very different. And so it's actually up to us to take that puppet and make it a character. Right. Like, I have to say, the difference between being a face actor and being a puppeteer is that I know my body very well, so I know when I'm making a certain face or when I'm looking somewhere. When I put a new puppet on, I have to figure out how to make that puppet look sad or sigh or make somebody laugh by doing something funny. So it's a lot of mirror work and practice.
Yeah. And I've worked a little bit more on that, so I have a different perspective than Brianna on this one, because I've worked with the build crews a lot. And actually built a couple of different puppets for the shows. Like for Alien, I built Jones the cat.
Yeah.
And then I also got to play him, so that was kind of a unique experience in that I had to design this character to look a certain way and to kind of fit a voice and an idea that I already had for it. But I would definitely mirror what Brianna says, that sometimes you get in a puppet, someone else designed it, and they went a completely different direction than what you were thinking, and you're like, oh, I suddenly have to decide what this character is all about.
Do you feel like the experience with that just comes from you guys just training outside of this with puppets? Or do you feel like that's something kind of anybody can do if they just have the puppet on their hand enough?
I think a puppeteer is I wouldn't say a unique kind of individual, but it's definitely a specific kind of person. Because we've had some actors come in and try out that just, they can't quite handle the transition. we've had great actors and we've had, you know, poor actors and people in the middle, but it's just like, it's a specific mindset that person has to be able to get into.
What do you feel like defines that? What is it?
Honestly, I think some of it is natural talent and some of it is practice. You put that puppet on and some people just, the disconnect from making your brain and your hand work together, like some people just cannot do it. And Sean is great. He teaches us. When you come in, he says he would rather have an actor first than a puppeteer second, because he can teach you puppeteering. And so it just takes a lot of repetition and practice.
Oh, yeah. Now, is there any kind of, I guess, learning curve with the crassness of the humor and stuff like that when it comes to you guys coming
yes.
in?
Is yes.
it, I know you said you were always kind of pushing the limits, but is it something that you were comfortable with jumping into this?
No.
I was really young and coming out of college at this point, and I was a little bit, starry-eyed waif wandering into the puppet theater, and there was a point I was definitely overcorrected for that because I wasn't aware of it, and I had been given the note, you need to stop saying bitch so much. Which is hilarious. That's kind of a unique experience out of this. He's like, don't cover for the silence by swearing. And it's so there's definitely a learning curve on that as well.
And I know you guys already kind of mentioned that it's like South Park, and you know, do shows like that, like the Matt and what's his name, Trey, Matt and Trey stuff, and the Avenue Q stuff, like having that over your head, is it hard to separate yourself from that, or do you kind of appreciate the connections for audiences?
I actually appreciate it. It lets them know a little bit about what they're walking into. I mean, Sean, every time we start, he says, if you're insulted by this, you need to get the fuck out. And he's exactly yeah. right. Like, we don't want to make people uncomfortable, but there is a lot of people that like this. So, yes, come on in. We want to share this with you.
And it's like, there's definitely a market for that. Maybe because of that, or maybe just they notice that market was there as well, as people do like the kind of crass humor. But yeah, it's good to have a little bit of a filter before that, just because it is kind of a different theater going experience. And a lot of people come in expecting, you know, Importance of Being Earnest or Oklahoma, and they're like, oh! And
so you guys don't mind if someone comes and is like, oh, so you guys are like South Park, or you guys are like Avenue Q.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, we've got a couple minutes left, so just wrap it up. Last couple questions I'd like to ask. First off, anybody else in town, any kind of discipline that you want to give some recognition to as an artist?
I mean, there's a lot of places all over that do puppetry. I just really want to push. Puppetry can be amazing, and I want to make sure that, like, if it's something you're interested in, come check it out. This is super funny, and we especially love all the edgy theater stuff.
Absolutely. Ditto.
Lovely. Okay. Any personal projects, anything within the show or without the troupe? Anything you want to push?
I'm going to sound really boring, but I don't really have anything going on outside of this show. They can be a little all-consuming.
I mean, I do something completely different. I just started a special needs theater company through TheaterWorks in Peoria. I'm working with adults and children with cognitive disabilities, and so we're on our second show, and we're doing Aristocats, and so, yeah.
How can we find that?
You can find it at TheaterWorks.org, and so we would love to grow the program. So if you know anybody with disabilities, we would love to have them.
Perfect. Last things I'd like to ask, just... if you have one piece of advice for somebody who would be trying to get into something you guys are doing, what would you want to pass on?
Just don't be scared and come try it. Like, again, if you are an actor or this is interesting to you, we can teach you all of the stuff. It's just this practice, but and it's really fun, so just come on out and give it a try.
I would definitely mirror what Brianna said there, and also just never feel like it's too late to take something on. For whatever reason in our world, there's a lot of pressure to have committed to something very early on. But, you know, I didn't take up puppetry until much later in my life, and it's something that I've really dedicated myself to later. And it's worth kind of reinventing yourself if you need to.
That's fantastic. All right, Brianna, Tana, thank you guys so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Nick Machete for writing our theme music and Taylor Machete for all of her support. If you are enjoying the podcast so far, don't forget to follow us and leave nice ratings on Facebook, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Pinecast.co. And if you or someone you know is pursuing something artistic in the Phoenix area and you'd like to be on the podcast, write to me at starvingartistsphx@gmail.com.